JNM After Midnight. All right, welcome back to another smooth, jazzy, and all-around news-breaking episode of NJNM After Midnight. If you've never joined us before, we're here in the dark, smoky, and fictional Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles, California, right on the edge of Hollywood. I'm Tyler, and across the booth from me is none other than the founder and sole operator of NotJustNewMovies.com, Ben Pearson. How's it going, Ben?
Hey, what's up, Tyler?
Are you enjoying the large bowl of egg drop soup that they just delivered?
Oh, it's so good.
I never knew anyone would like that much egg drop soup. Very salty.
Yeah, if it's not in like a paint can sized bowl, then I don't want it. So.
Well described, sir. Well described for our audio listeners. Yes, we're at the Chinese restaurant that never closes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even on holidays. And this is where we talk about movie news. Ben is a cinematic journalist, as I call him, which means he reports, analyzes, and criticizes the big movie buffs up in the sky, the big companies. You need to bring them down a few pegs, am I right, people? So, you know, just kind of going over a couple of news items. There's movie podcast news things all the time, so but everybody loves seeing what Ben Pearson has to offer. So, Ben, why don't you have him and like the Chinese restaurant, serve it up.
Jeez, you're setting me up there, man. That's these people are going to be really disappointed after an intro like that. We just like to grab some Chinese food and chat about movies and stuff. So sure. The most recent things, I've kind of compiled a list of a few news stories that came up this past week that I thought might be worth discussing. I have not cleared these or even mentioned any of these to you. So this is cool, because it'll be like, you know, legitimate reactions instead of like
impulsive, curse-ridden reaction to this news.
Right. Well, one of them, I'm not really sure how you're going to handle this, but I don't know if you heard about this. Uh-oh. But Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller are apparently in talks, I guess, to come back for a Dodgeball sequel. Did you hear about that?
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Yeah, I heard about that this week, and, you know, with the Anchorman 2. I think it's they failed with so many other ideas after those big movies that they're like, might as well go back to the original recipe.
Mm-hmm. And it's strange that now Dodgeball is getting a sequel after, like you mentioned, Anchorman, because both those movies came out in 2004. That's like almost 10 years ago at this point. And it's like, that seems to be just a trend that's going on recently. Like, it's longer and longer between sequels. You know, it used to be like a couple years max, and then franchises would either die or, you know, people would just move on to other things or whatever. But now it's like, I think a few years ago there was a sequel to Basic Instinct that came out like 20 years before that or something.
Instinct. Yeah, so Friday the 13th series had a new installment like every year, like Saw.
Right.
So I don't know why they have to take so long to do this stuff. Maybe it's because they don't have the story or something.
Yeah, that's been a part of it, I think. And like, the studio is always a little reticent to, you know, to greenlight something, especially, you know, studios in general have been a lot more conservative since the economic collapse, I guess.
And Battleship.
They want to make sure that they can get their, you know, make their money back, whereas, you know, in the 90s and before that, it was everybody was just kind of throwing money around. But
unless you're the Veronica Mars movie, where the studio doesn't even care because they don't invest anything.
Yeah, I think the studio is probably going to toss a little bit of help their way, if not money. Like, the Warner Brothers is going to distribute that movie, from what I understand, digitally, and kind of help with the advertising and stuff, maybe, once it's completed. But they were just kind of on the fence about whether or not there was a big enough audience to deserve throwing some money to actually finance the film. And Rob Thomas and Kristen Bell, I guess, proved that there is a big enough audience, because that's like the thing that has made the most money on Kickstarter.
Did Matchbox 20 break up again?
Not that much.
So where does the Dodgeball saga go now? Are they going to like cross over with Balls of Fury and Blades of Glory?
It apparently is gonna. That would be really interesting and probably terrible.
Yeah, probably.
But A Blaze of Glory might deserve a sequel. I don't know. That movie I feel like is a little bit underrated. But
I dig it. I've never seen Balls of Fury actually.
Yeah, I haven't either. But it just
is that
looks
Christopher Walken? Does he reprise his role as Chinese master of ping pong?
That's part of the reason why it looks terrible. It's like Christopher Walken is a Chinese man. What's happening?
Oh man, I completely lost my Christopher Walken impression. I was gonna break into it, and it would have been terrible. So I'm glad I halted that when I had the time.
Good call. Basically at this point they just hired a writer, so it's really in early days on this this sequel. But the loose theory, I guess, about where the story could go is that it's supposed to reunite Ben Stiller's character, White Goodman, W-H-I-T-E, with Vince Vaughn's Peter LaFleur character, and they're supposed to, like, team up to
LaFleur.
Fight, like, a bigger threat of some kind, and nobody really knows exactly what that means yet, But yeah, I guess the script is being written, and obviously Stiller and Vaughn are down to come back because neither one of them is really doing that much these days. I mean, they both have projects coming on. Actually, Ben Stiller is working on a movie that's coming out later this year, like November or December or something, called The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which is a remake of a movie from like the 50s or 60s. Hmm. And they played a little bit of that footage at CinemaCon in Las Vegas recently, and apparently it went over really well, and people are saying that it might actually like have Oscar potential and all this stuff. So Ben Stiller could be on the way back up, although Vince Vaughn, with The Internship coming out, as much as I love Wedding Crashers, his reteaming with Owen Wilson doesn't really look like it has the same exact magic that they were able to capture back in 2005. But I guess that remains to be seen.
Well, hopefully they go balls deep with the Dodgeball sequel and that Cotton makes a return as one of the announcers. But
yes.
My heart aches for a Starsky and Hutch sequel. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, man.
That is a movie franchise just waiting to be born. And I don't know why more people don't clamor for it. You know what, Ben? If you need something to kickstart this next week, I'm gonna try to raise money for a Starsky and Hutch sequel. I don't know exactly how I'm gonna spend the money that I raise, which I'm gonna calculate into the millions. But I will do it.
Okay. All right. I like that.
You're welcome to come aboard for a 90-10 split.
All right. I'm down. That sounds like a fair deal to me.
By the way, we have to play Starsky and Hutch, because I don't think we can get Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller back on.
Well, I don't know if Paramount would hand over the rights so easily, but we'll see.
Money talks, Ben, in Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess you know
that by now.
The money to buy the rights from them.
That would be so sweet. What would we do with the Starsky and Hutch rights? The possibilities are endless.
Where we play Starsky and Hutch, but it would have like a $67 budget.
Yeah.
And it would look terrible.
Yeah, just like the movies we used to make. Just bring stock footage of explosions and you're made.
Yep, there you go.
Nice.
The next order of business, I guess, is have you heard of X-Men Days of Future Past? Do you know anything about this?
Is that the sequel to X-Men Origins?
Well, I guess technically.
/ First Class.
Right, yeah, it's really weird. The X-Men movie, Bryan Singer, who directed the first two X-Men films, is coming back to direct X-Men Days of Future Past, which is the next movie, I guess, the most up-to-date movie in the X-Men franchise. There's a Wolverine standalone movie that's coming out.
Looks pretty sweet.
I'm
glad they're still pushing that. They're like, we'll get it right eventually.
Yeah, that should be interesting when it comes out. But so there's that coming out, and then after that, I think it's next summer, is X-Men Days of Future Past, which picks up after the events of X-Men 3, which was The Last Stand, and that was a terrible movie that Brett Ratner and the writers just
so this is the sequel to the
botched.
X-Men 3.
Right, and it's also a sequel to X-Men First Class, because that, as you know, was a prequel to all of the other X-Men
Correct.
Movies that took place in the 1960s, and it was kind of about the formation of the X-Men.
Right.
So this Days of Future Past is going to involve time-traveling elements where Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are going to be in this movie as...
Sir yeah. Patrick Stewart and Sir Ian McKellen.
Sorry, respect where it's due. The multiple sirs.
The men are knighted.
Sorry about that. My alarm just went off. But
you got important movie news coming in.
I do, right. Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart are going to be in this movie playing Magneto and Professor Xavier, respectively. And also, Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy are going to be in it reprising their roles from X-Men.
Oh, my God.
First Class. So
multiversal movie, finally.
Yeah, it really is. It sounds like something you would totally dig, because there's going to be, like, crisscrossing timelines and alternate universes and all kinds of really weird, like, ambitious stuff going on.
Now,
so,
will the band Crisscross do the soundtrack?
I believe so.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
you heard it here first, folks.
What was their song? Jump or
everybody,
something?
Jump. I think that's them. Man. It's either that or Everybody Crisscross. It's some jock jam. It's a jock jam.
Yeah, right. Anyway, the newest news on that is that Bishop, the characters of Bishop and Warpath, are going to be featured in this movie, which I think at this point it's like almost too many mutants are going to be in this movie. I'm wondering if Bryan Singer is even going to be able to handle it. Like, I'm happy that he's coming back to direct it, but right. There's so many characters in this movie because you have the old and new versions of all the main players.
Right.
And now he just keeps introducing all of these other people that, you know, to his credit, fans have wanted to see in an X-Men movie for a long time. Like, right. Colossus is supposed to have a bigger role.
Jubilee.
And a couple. I don't know if Jubilee
wants Jubilee.
No, I don't really think so. But I think Jubilee might actually be in it. I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. But
if you just take the storyline from the cartoon, I think everyone will be happy.
Yeah, and the X-Men Days of Future Past is like a really famous run from the comics, I guess.
Okay.
That you know did really well, and everybody, you know, it's very well loved among the community. So. So there's that, and Bishop, the concept of Bishop being involved, you know, he was in the cartoon. I never really read X-Men comics as a kid. I read like maybe 3 or 4 total. But
nice.
I watched the show all the time, the animated series all the time, and Bishop was in that and was a total badass, along with Cable, who's another kind of time traveling future, mutant, which I was really hoping that they would announce that Cable was going to be in this, because it kind of makes more sense for him to be in there, but Bishop is cool too. Go ahead.
I used to have the Cable toy, and he would like, you could put slides in his back, and he would project things on the wall from his chest.
I think I had that one too.
I went to a birthday party.
Nice. Yeah, I remember having like in the 90s, they had like baseball cards were obviously a big deal, a lot bigger deal than they are now, as far as like kids collecting them and stuff.
Right.
Kids don't do that anymore.
It was the Pokemon of the day before Pokemon was a thing.
Right, or just the baseball card collecting of baseball card collecting, because I think that happened.
Yeah, that's a better description, yeah.
The 60s and kept going up until the 90s or whatever. But I forget what it was, Topps maybe, or one of the big card manufacturing brands started branching off and realizing, like, oh, crap, these kids are buying up these baseball cards. Let's capitalize on this and make cards of other things that kids like, so they'll buy all those.
Sure.
And you know, capitalize on that kind of stuff, too. So I remember one of those brands making a series of X-Men cards, and I collected a lot of those, and the Cable and Bishop ones were always really cool in my mind. So anyway, that's a random story.
Were they holograms?
I think they might have been like, I don't know, not pure holograms like in the traditional sci-fi sense, but I think they had like, you know, reflective qualities and stuff too. Some of them
are the good ones.
That's how you knew they were good.
Oh,
shiny.
Yeah.
But that was something. Little news piece there. That's movie
pretty interesting. I like that. I like where they're going with it.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, if nothing else, it'll be like a massive disaster that'll just be really fun to watch because it'll be like a train wreck kind of thing. So
maybe they can start bringing in like, I guess because they're two different studios, right? They can't bring in any Avengers stuff,
right?
But the X-Men is kind of so expansive on its own that they don't really need all the rest of those guys. So maybe they could go into the Marvel universe, like into the stuff that isn't locked down by whatever Disney, and they can just do epic movies just like the Avengers.
Yeah, there's a talk that just recently Joss Whedon was talking about how he was going to bring maybe Quicksilver and his sister in the comics. I don't remember
those are Magneto's kids.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Quicksilver's the Flash counterpart.
It is in one timeline, one version of the story. But
They wouldn't technically be in competition. They'd actually be going side by side. So the Disney Avengers, along with whatever studio's doing X-Men, they're like, you can put them all on the same shelf together.
Yeah, well, Whedon was talking about bringing Quicksilver and his sister over into Avengers 2. Like, he's already written them into the script. And those are a couple of those characters that are kind of, like, in limbo. Like, Fox doesn't necessarily... Like, they technically could belong to the X-Men universe, or they also could belong to the Avengers universe, because in the comics and stuff, they all cross over into this massive kind of blend, but that's not how it works with the studios. But, yeah, I don't know.
Get off your high horse, studios. Let the creative juices flow.
It's just a matter of franchising and licensing and stuff. Like,
that should be about storytelling.
Well, in a perfect world, sure, yes. But these people got to make their money. But
also in that perfect world, then, that Starsky and Hutch sequel.
Yep, there it is.
So I think that's pretty cool, because I read some X-Men comic recently, and by recently I mean like last year. That was I want to say like 80s, and everything in it was just exciting from page to page, but it was about characters I'd never heard of before. So if they can like harness that, where they go, here are X-Men you've probably never heard of, but what's going on is keeping you kind of interested. I don't see anything wrong with that. It's like you don't have to keep playing up to Storm and Wolverine and stuff like that.
Right.
Cool.
So another little piece of news. You're probably not going to care for this one too much, but apparently 20th Century Fox has secured the rights to Guys and Dolls, the famous musical from 1955.
Guys and Dolls. It starred just a bunch of lazy guys and dolls.
It starred Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando, the original one. And they're looking at Channing Tatum and Joseph Gordon-Levitt to play those roles in the remake. Nothing's been signed yet, but that's apparently who the studio has in mind. Have you ever seen Guys and Dolls, Tyler?
No.
Okay. I was hoping you had, because I, in a drama class in high school, watched most of it, but then the class ended, and I never saw like the last 15 or 20 minutes or something.
The Dolls win, so, then.
Yeah, I was hoping. It's a massive battle between the two, but
the big football game, and the guys just don't make it to the end zone in time.
Yeah, I was really pulling for Raggedy Ann there at the end, but
wait, is that a real character?
No, it's just a doll.
I see. You got to bring in a little toy humor. You know you got to pay out. You got to pay out to the Raggedy Ann company now.
But yeah, you know, I like Channing Tatum and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so that would be interesting seeing them at kind of a throwback musical thing. Depends on who they could get to direct it, but you know, how crazy would that be if they got like some big name? Like, I don't know, like a Steven Soderbergh or somebody like that to direct it.
Guy that did The Mummy?
No, that would be Steven Sommers. But actually, I prefer that as an option.
Guys and Dolls, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Now talking about franchise crossovers, there it is right there. A Guys and Dolls movie. A Guys and Dolls reboot. That is also a fourth Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser and Arnold Vosloo getting involved. I love it.
Bring me your dolls. Is it going to be set? Is it going to be a period piece? Because that could work.
I would assume so, yeah. Let's see.
What is Guys and Dolls about again? Is it about gangsters?
Yeah, kind of. If I remember correctly.
And I watched this gangster movie called White Heat with James Cagney.
Oh, I think that's been in my Netflix queue for a long time.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Okay. It's older Cagney. I was hoping for maybe early 30s Cagney, but this was early 40s, maybe late 40s. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Nice.
You have to keep up with it, though. Don't leave the room.
Okay.
Because you'll be like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, it's more of like a gambling movie than a gangster movie. The Guys and Dolls is, but yeah, there's like a missionary, a female missionary that's caught in this kind of love triangle thing. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Could be good. But
Guys and Dolls, 2014.
Next, Arnold. Oh, okay, Arnold. Army Hammer. I don't know if you know this guy.
Army Hammer, the company that makes baking soda, yes.
Baking soda, no, not them. Army Hammer, the star of The Social Network, who played the Winklevi twins.
Yes. He's also in this new movie coming out. I'm trying to remember what it is.
The Lone Ranger.
That's it.
Yes. He is playing the Lone Ranger in The Lone Ranger.
Alongside this black bird that wears Johnny Depp as pants.
As a hat. Yeah, as a best pants.
Yeah, like it's the bird that's actually the character wearing Johnny Depp.
Oh, brilliance. Yes, man, I really hope that comes true in the movie. That would make it so much better, just on the face of it. Like, without even... That would automatically just improve it across the board, I think. Sure. But, yeah, Armie Hammer is supposedly going to be playing one of the lead characters in a remake of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., or I guess a film adaptation of the 1960s TV series The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and Tom Cruise is going to be the other guy, the main...
The U.N.C.L.E.?
The other main spy. It's a spy
series. I made you! You're the man from me! No, you didn't. My dad did. He's your brother. I'm your brother. So drama. But,
yeah, so the show ran from, you know, 1964 to 68, I think, and was about two secret agents who were, you know, like, it was like a mismatched buddy cop kind of thing. One is from America, one's from the USSR, and they have to work together to overthrow the evil plot of Thrush, a criminal organization that you know, threatens the world, obviously. So it's
Rocky IV, basically.
Sort of.
Is U.N.C.L.E. an acronym? Is it like Spectre?
Yeah.
Or,
right. Yeah, it's U movies. Period N period C period L period
yeah.
E.
Smash, so. What is it? Smash is also, no, that's an NBC show. there was another organization.
Yeah, Get Smart.
Yeah, maybe there was. I know there was Spectre, but then I thought there was another organization in the Bond films that had an acronym of some kind. But I think it was Spectre.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. So this would be like the second 1960s spy series movie adaptation for Tom Cruise. Obviously, with Mission Impossible being the first one. So it's kind of a weird choice for him to be in a movie like this, and they're, of course, they're talking about this being a new franchise and blah 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 blah. But yeah,
Tom Cruise better get on that treadmill.
I found it to be Tom Cruise is in shape.
No, I'm just saying he runs in every movie, so he's got to get used to running again.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I think he's constantly in a state of sprinting wherever he is.
There's a movie right there, State of Sprint. Sorry, Tom Cruise is U.N.C.L.E.
And he's, I love the concept of him, like, on a date or something, and he's just, like, he pulls out the chair at a fancy restaurant, and he has to sprint in a circle around it for, like, the whole time.
While he's sitting down under the table, there's, like, this mini treadmill, where he's just, like, constantly moving his feet.
Okay, so his entire body doesn't have to move, just his feet.
Just the legs, yeah.
Okay.
He's like one of those wind-up toys that never run out of energy.
Yeah, man, that would be... I wonder if he'd be interested in something like that. I feel like we could write a spec script and...
Yeah, let's kickstart it.
Yeah, definitely.
He could be the bad guy in Starsky and Hutch 2. State of Sprint.
There it is. Starsky and Hutch 2, : State of Sprint.
Exactly.
Do you have any feelings about a movie adaptation of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Did you ever watch that show? I know you're a big fan of, like, shows from the 50s and 60s and stuff, like, times way before when we were born.
So. Only because I cut cable, and the only stations that come in for free are stations that play, like, shows from the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
I have not seen Man from U.N.C.L.E. I have been watching a lot of Dragnet and Adam 12 which are both shows produced by Jack Webb.
Okay.
But other than that, no Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
The Flying Nun's pretty awful, too.
Do you have any thoughts on Army Hammer from anything that you've seen him in so far?
Not really. I haven't seen enough to make a judgment.
You saw The Social Network, right?
I did.
Okay.
I thought those were actual twins.
Yeah, they did a really good job with
that. And then I was like, I was kind of pissed that Facebook got more of my money.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other issue. And then I guess the last thing that I have is a couple nights ago I was able to, on Tuesday, today's Thursday, when we're recording this, Thursday, April 25th. Oh, my calendar says there's a full moon tonight, so that's interesting.
I see it right here outside the window. It's after midnight, people.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You're right. Calendar's correct.
On Tuesday evening, the Academy hosted a 21st anniversary reunion screening of Wayne's World that I got a chance to go to.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, Rob Lowe, and Lorne Michaels were there, and the director, Penelope Spheeris, was also in attendance.
Was Tia Carrere there?
She was, yeah. She was in the crowd. Yeah. Brian Doyle Murray, who is Bill Murray's brother, who plays Noah Vanderhoff in the movie, was also in the crowd. And Lara Flynn Boyle, I don't know.
Lara.
She was there. And a couple other people, you know, cast people and people involved with making the movie were in the crowd, but not necessarily on the panel itself. But, yeah, there's you know, it was kind of a cool event. Apparently, there's a lot of like strained history between. I don't know if you know any of the stuff, Tyler. If you read my piece about it, but
well, I know that Myers and I forgot his name already.
Dana Carvey.
Yeah, Dana Carvey. Sorry, I know that they were kind of maybe. I don't know if it was creative differences or maybe writing differences on their characters. Plus, I think they were both tired of those characters by the time
Wayne's World 2
came along.
You read that SNL book. Was there anything in there that you remember about them?
I think it was by the time that they were interviewed for that book, I think it was the heat was well over. I think they had become, you know, sidekicks again or whatever you want to call it, friends.
Okay.
I think they referenced it a little bit, but it wasn't like a huge thing that's still around.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like the reports I was reading said that they had a falling out because Mike Myers stole one of Dana Carvey's voices for the Dr. Evil character in Austin Powers and like didn't give Carvey any credit for it, basically.
Really?
And Carvey apparently got super pissed and you know, because that went on to be one of Mike Myers' kind of most iconic roles, I guess, in movies.
Wait, what was the voice?
Just like whatever Mike Myers' Dr. Evil voice currently is, apparently Dana Carvey did it first as some other character or something, and Myers like stole it and repurposed it for Dr. Evil. That's all like alleged.
In the book, it claims that Mike Myers' Dr. Evil is Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think Dana Carvey's Lorne Michaels voice.
Right.
Was what Mike Myers stole and turned into Dr.
So Eagle. The person that should be pissed is Lorne Michaels.
Right.
They're making tons of money off of his image.
Yeah, he was there and nobody, everybody seemed to play nice. There wasn't any any ill will really shown.
David, I'm very disappointed in you.
It doesn't sound anything like Lorne Michaels.
I'm going to go hang out with Paul Simon some more.
I don't know. I don't know where that... It probably just kind of...
Ben, did Lorne Michaels just walk in the room?
Evolved into its own thing, but...
Yeah, I know.
But I think
Martin Short does a Lorne Michaels impression, too. Everybody from SNL does.
Right, yeah. That's, like, a big thing there, I think. All the impressionists. I want to see, like, Jay Farrow's Lorne Michaels impression.
Lorne Michaels meets Denzel Washington.
Yep. they talked about, you know, how the sketch was originally on like Canadian TV before Mike Myers even got hired on SNL. It was called Wayne's Power Minute before it was called Wayne's World.
Oh, nice.
And then how it kind of evolved, you know, from playing really late in Saturday Night Live on like a stage way back in the back that the audience couldn't even see to, you know, ascending up the ranks and moving up to eventually opening the show and getting Aerosmith on there to be, you know, guests and stuff. And just how
we're not worthy.
Yeah. how it evolved over the years, but
yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It was interesting stuff for Wayne's World fans. I transcribed like almost every part, every worthwhile part of the Q&A. So you can find that at firstshowing.net. If you just search for Wayne's World, I'm sure you'll see it there.
I'll link to it.
We'll throw it in the show notes. But
did they show the film?
Yeah. They did a Q&A, kind of a panel, or not a Q&A, because the audience wasn't allowed to ask any questions, but they did like a 40-minute panel discussion right before the movie, and then actually showed like a new print of the film. And the whole event sold out in 90 seconds, which was insane. Mm. It was a huge crowd, and everybody stuck around and watched the movie and stuff.
Does the film still hold up, Ben?
It does, yeah, and I had watched it fairly recently. I want to say like within the past year or so, but even still, watching it on the big screen was very cool, and it did remind me that the phrase "psycho hose beast" exists, which is fantastic, and I think needs to be incorporated into everyone's vernacular immediately. I really hope that takes off again for some reason. No, probably won't.
Work it into your articles, your news articles. Just be like, "What up, psycho hose beast?" That could be your following. That could be like your crew, like the people who read you exclusively would be the psycho hose beast.
That would be pretty cool. But the movie's very much of the 90s, and obviously there are a ton of references to 90s things and music and, you know, Claudia Schiffer and all that kind of stuff. It definitely holds up, though, especially for people who grew up watching it and grew up loving it.
Right.
I still don't think I've ever seen the entirety of Wayne's World 2, but I heard it wasn't as good, so I just never got around to watching it.
Don't they put up a like a music festival, Wayne stock in the second one?
Man, that doesn't even sound familiar to me. So I don't even think I've seen enough of it. I don't even think I've seen enough of it to know if that's the general plot. I think I must have just seen like a scene or two out of context somewhere.
Yeah, I think Garth gets a pubic hair in the second one.
He mentions that in the beginning of the first one.
Finally grows in.
Yeah. That's pretty much all we have, I think, for this episode.
That's a healthy episode. I liked all of those news items.
Yeah.
Ben, if people wanted to keep up with that news throughout the week, where could they find this stuff?
I'm writing at geeknation.com every day, like one article a day. You can find a lot of it at firstshowing.net as well. That's where I write my Kickstart This weekly column. You can find movie reviews of Iron Man 3 and Pain and Gain that I wrote recently at filmonic.com or notjustnewmovies.com. And other cool stuff at geektyrant.com. I haven't really written for them for a little while, but I think that's about to change. I'm probably going to be heading back over to that neck of the woods in a little while. So
nice. You guys need a movie news podcast, so maybe they'll pick up NJNM after midnight.
It's possible. It's possible. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's a good home.
I think that'll kind of wrap it up for us this week.
All right. Well, Ben, I want to thank you for bringing your news to the. To the After Midnight restaurant, the Chinese restaurant here in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And next time you want a weekly dish of cinematic journalism, stay up late with us on NJNM After Midnight. Safe journeys.